from Rav Kluger's new sefer on Pesach, Rav Tzvi Kluger Shlita. And the piece is called Tzafun Nishmas Yisrael L'malam Min HaZman. Okay, we're going to learn about how Chatzos Halayla works. Let's find out. Achar Kiyam Sudas Hayom Kedas V'Kedin, after a Jew eats the beautiful Seder, enjoys the meal of the Seder, Ponim Anu La'achol Esafi Koyman. So we come to the stage of the Seder where we consume the Afikomen, and Zecher L'Karban Pesach. Today we don't have a Karban Pesach, meaning the Mishnah says, Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikomen. Let's just think about those words for a second. Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikomen. We do not eat after the Karban Pesach Afikomen. So in the good old days when we had a Karban Pesach, we would end the Seder with the Achilas Karban Pesach, right? A person would eat to fill up to the point where they're close to satiation. And then, of course, we would top it off with Karban Pesach. Again, if you had a lot of meat for Karban Pesach, you could fill up with Karban Pesach also. But if there wasn't enough meat for Karban Pesach, so then you would have a meal, and then you would top it off to make sure that we end off the night with Karban Pesach. So, Ein Maftirin Acher HaPesach, we don't eat after Karban Pesach, Afikomen. What do we do nowadays? Nowadays, we don't eat after Afikomen, right? Because Afikomen is our Karban Pesach. I just want you to understand the words. When the Mishnah says, Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikomen, means we don't eat, Afikomen is the dessert. We don't eat dessert after Karban Pesach. Bizman Azek, Afikomen is our Karban Pesach. It's our Zecher to Karban Pesach. And therefore, that's how we end the evening in terms of the Achila. V'nei Kasa B'Sefer Zer HaKodesh. So the Rapshitz, Rav Naftali Rapshitz writes in the Zera Kodesh, Lavaris Shelas Haben HaChacham, Maha Tachlis Anu Osam Zecher L'Pesach L'Chagiga. The Rapshitz explains that when the Chacham says, right, what exactly are we doing? So the Chacham is asking, what exactly is the purpose of all of this Zecher L'Pesach and Zecher L'Chagiga? Why are we always, you know, pretending to eat the Karam Pesach, or pretending to, you know, to have a night of Geula when we're still living in Galus? What's the tachlis of all of these zecher mitzvos? When meshivim lo she'etzli yisbara chashuv zeki ilu herkarvanu pesach v'beis hamikdash. So we say back to the ben achacham, no, you don't understand. If a Jew does the best that he can do, so that's it. Meaning we don't have a karban pesach today, but anything we do zecher l'karban pesach, that's our karban pesach. In Hashem's eyes, that's ki'ilu we brought the karban pesach in the beis hamikdash. V'zeu she meshivim lo kilchos pesach. So that's why when the Ben Chacham says, what exactly, maha, right, maha idus, vachukim, mamishpatim, what's all this stuff that we're doing? Why are we pretending? Let's be honest, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we say back to the Chacham, no, you have to understand. Ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen. We say to the Ben Chacham, this is ki'ilu our Karban Pesach bizman hazeh. And a Jew eats afikomen, right, it's mamish ke'achilas Karban Pesach, and Hashem's eyes says, if we're in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the best we can do. That's the best we can do. Shatzlo yizbara choshev zek ilu hakarvanu pesach. In Hashem's eyes, it's as if we brought the Karban Pesach. V'lachein ein maftir nachar pesach avikomen. And for that reason, the same way that when we ate the Karban Pesach, we wouldn't eat something afterwards. So bizman hazeh, when we eat the avikomen, like, meaning, why can't we eat after avikomen? We're pretending it's Karban Pesach? No, we're not pretending. This is, in Hashem's eyes, this is our Karban Pesach. They were tzaddikim when they ate the afikomen. The mamish could taste the Karban Pesach. They were tzaddikim. They say about certain tzaddikim. The mamish had the taste of the Karban Pesach in their afikomen. They say the Chassam Sofer used to take the afikomen and he would juggle it. He said it was so hot. It was hot. Same regular piece of matzah. He said it was hot. It was like a hot barbecued meat. One of the tzaddikim, the Devei Chaim, I think they say, I gave a shiur on him a couple years ago. I don't remember who. I think the Devei Chaim. When Devei Chaim would eat the afikomen, you could see like the grease stripping down his beard. What grease? He's eating a piece of matzah. By the tzaddikim, the mamish could taste the Karban Pesach. They can mamish taste the Karban Pesach in the matzah. Okay. But we have to at least believe it, even if we don't taste it, right? Like they say from some of the tzaddikim, what's a higher level? To see the ushpizin in your sukkah, or to know that they're there, even if you don't see them? To believe that they're there. That's some ways a higher level. Okay, second paragraph. Nimsa she'achilas afikomen he mamish kachilas hakarban pesach. So therefore, when we eat the afikomen, a Jew has to close his eyes and imagine he's eating karban pesach, because he is, in a certain sense, eating karban pesach. Bina karban pesach nikra karban Hashem. Right, the Karban Pesach is called Hashem's Karban. So you're eating Hashem's food. You're sitting at Hashem's table. When a Jew sits and eats afikomen, he's eating Hashem's food. It's a time of a Jew clinging to his Creator. The way that whenever a person is oisek in a karban, karban's a lashon of kiruv, it brings a person close. It's lekarev as a person to his Creator. And therefore, when we understand the sugya of afikomen in Pnimius, we can understand something very deep. And he says, I want to focus on where it's underlined, specifically, madua achilas afikomen hi ad chatzos. Why is it that the Karban Pesach, and according to many, the afikomen has to be eaten by chatzos, by midnight? Different tzaddikim have different practices. It's machlokas tanayim. Right? It seems like the pashup pshat is a person should finish the Seder by chatzos. Should make it through Hallel, or at least Afikomen by Chatzos. And again, different practices. Take, for example, the Tzaddikim of Sokotchev, the Avinezer, Shem Yishmuel is on the wall over there. Right? So I think their practice was the first night they finished by Chatzos, and the second night they barely got up to Matzah, you know, Motzi Matzah by Chatzos. Okay, so different Tzaddikim. Some people, you know, are Makbid to get to Chatzos, not. Okay, but that's the Pashup Shad. The Pashtus is a person's supposed to eat Afikomen, again, without all the Rebbe Kavanas and explanations. The Pashup Pshat in Halacha is that a person's supposed to eat Afikomen by Chatzos. The question is why. So he says, the end of the right-hand column, Hinei Kasa B'Shulchan Aruch, two lines from the bottom, Yehei Zayir La'achlo Kodim Chatzos. Shulchan Aruch, Tafayin Zayin. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that a person should eat Karban Pesach and Afikomen B'Sman Hazeh by Chatzos. V'Hosif HaRamah, top of the left column, the Ramah adds, V'yakdim atzmo shagama halal yikra kodim chatzos. Ideally, like I mentioned, a person should try to recite halal before chatzos. V'nei b'pashtus masha mitzvahs halayla k'shuras l'zman chatzos, noveya mikach shagu'ulas mitzrayim hischila b'makas b'choros shayse b'chatzos. The Pashup Pshat, of course, says Rav Kluger, what's the inyan of chatzos? Wow. Why are we focused? Why are we keeping our eye on the clock for midnight? Eat the Karban Pesach, eat the Afikomen by midnight, say Hallel by midnight. What happened at midnight? So he says, obviously the Pashup Pshat, the Pashtus is, that Makas Bechoros took place at midnight. That Hashem came to strike down the firstborns at Chatzos HaLaila. Okay, so too the Seder should coincide, the Achilas Afikomen, the highlight of the Seder in a certain sense. Our Karban Pesach, B'zman Hazeh, should correspond to that moment of great salvation, when the final Makkah was being carried out by Hashem himself in Mitzrayim. But then Rav Kluger says in the next paragraph, let's think about Chatzos. And this is a very Rav Kluger-esque way of thinking. Look what he writes here. V'yesh levar behektim havana yisoidis shal metzias hazman shnekra Chatzos. Let's just think about, from a mathematical perspective, the concept of Chatzos. What is Chatzos? How many hours are there in the day? The Jewish day and a non-Jewish day is divided into 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. Of course, a Jewish day takes into consideration the time that the sun is shining and the time that the stars come out at night. So we have something called shos zmanios. We don't only use 60-minute hours, which is why Zman Tila changes and Zman Kriyashma changes. Right? But we'll divide, so to speak, the daylight hours into 12 portions, and we'll divide the night into 12 portions. Okay? So let's take a night. So a night is made up of 12 hours. Again, whether those hours are 60-minute hours or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for right now. So let's think about it. So what is Chatzos Halayla? If the night is made up of 12 hours, look what he writes. Right? He says, Shinei Makshima Olam. The world asks, Mahi Nekudas Chatzos. What exactly, where is Chatzos found? Val Derech Mashal. I'll give a simple example, says Rav Kluger. Halayla Shu Yud Beis Shaos. Yeah, let's make a day that's perfectly, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which means the night is 6 p.m. back to 6 a.m. So when's Chatzos? At midnight. But think about it for a second. If you have 12 hours, and you divide it into two portions, so you have 6 hours before Chatzos, you have 6 hours after Chatzos, so what is Chatzos? Like, what is that time that's called Chatzos? It's kind of like the time that's between the times. You hear what he's saying? He says, people ask the question, Mahi Nekudas Chatzos? What is that point? What is that exact moment that's called Chatzos? If you have 12 hours, If you divide it into six shows, 6 hours before Chatzos, 6 hours the second half, Lo Yishar Chelek Kol Shehu Beinayim. So then there's nothing in the middle. Right? If I have 12 hours and I divide it six and six, so what is Chatzos? What exactly is Chatzos? So what does it mean we talk about a time that's called Chatzos? Chatzos seems to be a time that's not within time. If I take the 12 hours of the night and divide it into 6 and 6, and I put Chatzos in the middle, but there is no middle. All of the time is before it and after it. So what exactly is this Nakuda, this point in time that's called Chatzos? So if it says that God very precisely came and struck down the Egyptians firstborn, Ad Chatzos, so what is Chatzos? If you'll tell me Chatzos is the last minute of the first 6 hours, that's not Chatzos. If you tell me it's the first minute of the second half of the 6 hours, that's also not Chatzos. So what exactly is that time, that space, that place, that time that exists within time, between time? It seems like a time outside of time. So it says with Kluger where it's underlined. If you just think about this idea for a second, that Chatzos is a time that's not within time. Right? A simple mathematical understanding of time will tell us that if you take 12 and you divide it into two portions, 6 and 6, there's nothing in the middle. There is no middle. There is no chatzos. So therefore what? Apparently there's no zman that's actually called chatzos. But to strike down the firstborns of Mitzrayim, lo hayitzarach mitzios shel zman. If the firstborns were killed precisely at Chatzos, but Chatzos doesn't actually exist, I guess that means that the firstborns, the finishing touches of the Eser Makos took place at a time beyond time. Which is why God Himself was the one who came to carry out that tenth and final plague. Because Hashem Himself is what? Is completely beyond time, is completely beyond space, is beyond any form of measure. Sharegam Misa Einena Pu'ula El Hafsakas Achayim. If you think about it, death is not something. It's not a something. What is death? He says death is not a pa'ula, killing a firstborn. What does it mean, killing a firstborn? Killing a firstborn means that they're no longer alive, meaning a second before they were alive, a second after they're dead. Right? What is misa? Misa is that kind of that moment of hafsaka sachaim, when life ceases to exist. But if I'm still breathing my last breath, and I'm still alive. If I'm already dead, then I'm dead. What is the moment of death? What does it mean, that moment that Hashem is killing the firstborns of Mitzrayim? How do you define that moment? Either they're still alive or they're dead. What is the moment of Misa itself? Right? Okay. So there's an element of that within everything, which I guess is the element of Hashem. Right? It's the element that's beyond any measure that exists within all. It's an amazing idea. They think that Chatzos doesn't actually exist. It's a time that doesn't actually exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Mitzrayim and he kills the firstborns at Chatzos. It's a very deep idea. Let's just finish the paragraph of Zema Yushav Hasha'ila Hanizkal. So if you'll ask the question, right, how exactly does this work? Shabachori Mitzrayim Chayu Atzov Chatzia Richon Shalalaila Umeoz Ve'ila Chim Efsiku Lechayos Umeilahim Mesu. The firstborns lived through those first 6 hours, and then they stopped living for the second 6 hours of the night. But again, something happens at that time outside of time called Chatzos. Yeah, you want to say something?
Shabbos has to told us, like, think about it. Like, I hope in year, there's no present, because, like, the present was either gone or
right. Right. Every moment is simultaneously, right. It's either still in the future or it's already become a thing of the past. It's very hard to understand that. So says Rav Kluge in the last paragraph on page 1, Amnam yesh lahosif lizbonin b'kach. But let's go deeper into this. Because again, it's not stam that Hashem, again, Hashem is always outside of time. Hashem is always outside of measure. Why dafka did Makas Bechoros take place in such a way, at such a time, in such a place? Amnam yesh lahosif lizbonin b'kach. Sha'arei haschalas ge'ulas b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim ha'ya b'makas Bechoros sha'isa b'chatzos alayla. This was not just the final blow of the Egyptians, but this was really the first moment of the creation of Klal Yisrael. As Hashem predicted, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning, right, when is this? When are we really going to free the Jews? When are we going to prove that B'ni B'chori Yisrael that we're Hashem's Bechor by killing the firstborns of Mitzrayim. So this moment of Chatzos is also this place or time that's outside of time, is the moment, if you can say the word moment, where Klal Yisrael is born. Ubir harabi rabuna mi peshischa shemakas bechoros hayahagiloi shal Hashem yisbach bebria baofen shal ani rishon. This was the greatest proof Hashem's ability to operate so precisely within a time that doesn't exist called Chatzos, was Hashem displaying, yes, ani rishon, I am the supernal cause of all. Turn the page. Umeila meisu kol habachoros shayustira kiviyachol inizeh. So the concept of an Egyptian firstborn, the concept of first by anyone other than Hashem, is already a stira to Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem says, the number one is reserved for me. You can't choose that as your jersey number. It's retired. That number's been retired, right? Hashem's the only number one. So Mitzrayim, so what do you mean? We also have firstborn. Firstborns, Bechor, Mitzrayim, no such thing. That's why it's a very deep idea. Think about the word Bechor. Think about the word Bechor. Think about the shorish of the word Bechor. Beis, Chaf, Resh. Think about it for a second. Interesting. No, I'm thinking differently. Just think about the letters. Right? Beis is 2. Chaf is 20. Resh is 200. Right? So it's 2 in the 1s column, 2 in the 10s column. 2, right, or multiples of 2 in the hundreds column. Why is the word Bechor, why is the Hebrew word, the Lashon HaKodesh word for Bechor, which means a firstborn, 222? The Maharal talks about the word Bracha, Beis Reish Chaf, also. Because Bracha is also a reboy. That I understand. Bracha is an expansion. Right? Bracha means that I used to have one, Baruch Hashem, now I have 2. Hashem has blessed me with more. So I understand why the word Beis Reish Chaf is 222. But Bechor, the word means a first. How could the word for first be made up of combinations of 2, multiples of 2? It's Hashem's way of saying, because even what looks like Bechor is really, it's an expression of 2. Ani Rishon, period. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one, and that's me. So anything that looks like a first, look how it's built into the word. No, it's really a second. It really can't be. Hashem has the monopoly on firsts. Amazing idea. So the fact that Mitzrayim has firstborns, it's the biggest stira to Hashem's existence. And Hashem's existence, obviously, is deeply connected to the existence of Klal Yisrael. So to free a Klal Yisrael means to destroy the notion of a firstborn in Mitzrayim. Right? The only firsts that are not a contradiction to Hashem's oneness, right, are people who are just an extension of that oneness, which is Klal Yisrael. So therefore, there can be a concept of B'ni B'chor Yisrael. Right? There can be a concept of a B'chor by Yisrael. But the notion of a B'chor by Mitzrayim, no. It's a two. It's a movement away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Hashem needed to prove that B'ni B'chor Yisrael, the only true firstborns, the only ones who are the extension, a hemshech of my oneness, is Klal Yisrael. Anything else that tries to be a one, Mitzrayim tries to be the world power, number one, on the rankings of you know, dominant nations of the world, Mitzrayim has to be destroyed. And Dafka, their firstborns, that notion of oneness, a first, has to be destroyed. So he says, the only one that's the exception is Chutz mi Bechor Yisrael. Bechor Yisrael, in the second line, is not a contradiction to the oneness of Hashem. Shenizgala shebechorasam eina stira lamalchas Hashem ela adraba. B'nei Yisrael mushrashim v'achuzim ba'ani rishon shel Hashem Yisrael. We are that expression of the ani rishon of Hashem. Asher korei aleihem b'nei b'chor Yisrael. That's why Hashem says, yes, my firstborns are Klal Yisrael. Hashem's okay with that concept. But b'chor Mitzrayim needs to be obliterated for the Jewish people to free themselves from Mitzrayim. V'im kein, next paragraph. And therefore, afim nomer shelitzorech hakos ha'b'choros ein tzorech b'zman shenikra chatzos. Ach acher shenizbar shebizman chatzos hayegiloi niskav zeh shel ani rishon. V'hu ha'shoresh l'g'ulas b'nei Yisrael, yesh l'hizbonein masai eira giloi zeh. So if you'll tell me that again, to get rid of the Mitzrim, that could take place in a time that's outside of time because you're removing their existence, it's just the hafsaka sachayim, and that can exist in a time outside of time, I understand. But how do you create a Klal Yisrael? How do you do something creative in a time or a space that doesn't exist? What he's saying is, where it's underlined, V'kmo kein yesh lizbonin, madua ko, it's like, maybe like nisgav, ma'alaso, v'gdulaso, shozman chatzos. What's so chashuv about chatzos that it was dafka at that moment, shabo meso b'choros v'ischila gulasam shal Yisrael? Again, what is our obsession with chatzos? Why was it? Again, we understand that b'chor b'tzraim has to be removed. We understand that B'ni B'chori Yisrael needs to be emphasized. But why did that have to happen dafka at Chatzos? Why did that experience have to take place precisely at Chatzos? So again, explains Rav Kluger, and we've already sort of alluded to it, but let's see it clearly. V'yesh lamar, Shamnam ba'olam hagashmi ein metziyah zman shenikra Chatzos. As we've seen, again, a simple mathematical understanding of numbers tells us that the space between the numbers is not a space. Right, that in the Olam Hagashmi, there really is no Metzias, there is no existence that is known as Chatzos. Elishayesh Musag Ruchani Shnikra Lamala Me'ezman. But that means if Chatzos is a time that we talk about, it's obviously a time outside of time, it's a time that's Lamala Me'ezman. Ve'einenu B'soch Migvelos HaTeva V'ezman. It's not bound by the borders or the natural order of time and space. It's the place that exists between two units of time. It's the space, right, that is, it's after the time that's before Chatzos, it's before the time that's after Chatzos. It's a time outside of time. So he says, that's exactly what Rabbeinu of Peshischa is saying. Shizgal letoch habriya mitzias, shi legamri lemala mehabriya. So, think about Chatzos. Chatzos is a time outside of time, right? And yet we still talk about Chatzos as part of time. It must be that it's possible, listen carefully, within the Bria, within nature, within time, within Gvulim, within borders, boundaries, apparently it is possible to have something that is beyond time, beyond space, within space. You hear the idea? It's possible to have something that's bigger than reality within a physical reality. It's possible to have a body and to have a neshama inside of it. How is that possible? Maflila so, it's a pella. Right, that's why every time you go to the bathroom and you acknowledge the holes of the body, you acknowledge the fact that there are openings to the body and yet my neshama somehow, right, is able to remain within the body, as the Rama writes, as the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama write, at the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch when it describes the bracha of maflila so that we make when we go to the bathroom. How could it be? How could it be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You made my body, nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. And yet, somehow the body and the neshama are able to coexist. Maflila sos, it's a pella. You have something which is not shayach to time or space, which is infinite, the soul, living harmoniously, somewhat, or somehow, within a physical body, with all of its physical manifestations and limitations and restrictions. How is that possible? It's a pella. So how can it be that, again, we have a Chatzos, it's a time that's outside of time, but it's also a time that we talk about. We eat afikomen by Chatzos. Halacha. It's a halacha shukhalach. Eat afikomen by Chatzos. What do you mean Chatzos? There's no such thing as Chatzos. So it's teaching us, again, look at these words, amazing words. It's teaching us that, it's revealing to us that it's possible lisocha bria, within reality, a mitzius shi legamri lamala mehabriya. That you could have a Jew who walks down the street and walks past a non-Jew, and he looks at him and he says, wow, that guy looks a lot like me. I have brown hair and he has brown hair. I have two legs and he has two legs. Right? I have blue eyes and he has blue eyes. Right? So what makes him part of the Teva, and what makes me Lamala Mena Teva? How is that possible? If I'm really Lamala Mena Teva, so how am I in this world? And if I'm in this world, I must be just part of Teva. I must be part of the Bria. The Chiddush is that a Jew lives with the realization and understanding that what? That it's possible to have something which is Lamal Me'abriya, B'socha Briya. Ribono Shel Olam's presence in this world. How could Hashem be in this world? Hashem is beyond this world. Hashem could only exist beyond this world. Hashem can't exist in this world. Hashem says that's my greatest desire. Dira B'tachtonim. I want to prove that I can exist, I can express my my infinite nature within finite reality. That's awesome. That's the biggest chiddush. How can you express something infinite within something that's finite? But that's what Chatzos HaLayil is. And that, of course, is the moment where Klal Yisrael is born. Says Rav Kluger at the bottom of the right-hand column, V'atam shemakas b'choros haisa dafka b'tzura zu, humikevan shebachach mizgala shenishmos Yisrael heim lamala me'olam agashmi v'hametzumtzum. Why was the Jewish people created in a time outside of time? Right, how could such a thing be? And the answer is, it's to teach us that Klal Yisrael, the soul, the essence of Klal Yisrael, is beyond this world and is not limited by the limitations of this world. Right? It's possible for a Jew to be bigger than this world. Jump to the next paragraph. We see this already from the birth of Klal Yisrael, from the starting point. When Hashem was first introducing Avram to the possibility of having children, Hashem did, because Hashem says, I don't want you to think there's anything regular about you. There's nothing regular about you. So Avram is wondering, what's going to be with me, Hashem? Who's going to be Yairish me? I'm going to leave my legacy to who? To my steward, to the servant of us, to Eliezer Eved Avram? And what does Hashem say to Avram? He takes him outside. Hashem takes Avram chutzah. He takes him outside. Says the Gemara, Darshu Chazal, Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav, Minayin She'ein Mazel LiYisrael. How do we know that the Jewish people are beyond Mazel? Shenemar V'yotzei Oso HaChutzah. Because the Jewish people went outside. Outside of what? It means Avram walked outside of his tent. That's not supernatural. Says the Gemara, not true. Avram went much farther beyond. Amar Avram lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ben Beisi Yorish Osi. Is Eliezer going to be the one to inherit me? Is Eliezer going to be the Hamshacha, the continuation of my legacy? Is that really how this is supposed to be? Amar Lo Lav, Kim Asher Yetzei Mimecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Avram Avinu, no, not at all. The one who's going to come from your loins is going to be the one to be Yorish you, to inherit you, to continue your legacy. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Avram says, what are you talking about? I've studied all that this world has. Nistakalti b'tzagninas shali. I've studied even things that most people don't understand, but it's still part of the physical reality of the world. I've studied the stars. I've read I'm an astronomer, I'm an astrologer. I can read the itztagninus. I see that I'm not destined to have children. Ve'eno roi lahoylid ben. Amar lei, so Hashem says to Avraham, Hashem says, let's go outside. What does it mean? Say me it's tagninus shelcha. Right? Go beyond. Say me it's tagninus shelcha. Get out of whatever's holding you back. Get out of your Mitzrayim. You know where Avram's Mitzrayim was? Already in the stars above. So Hashem says, go beyond the stars. Beyond the stars? Yeah, go beyond the stars. Say me it's tagninus shelcha. You feel that you're bound by the constellations. Go beyond the constellations. She'ein mazel Yisrael. The Jewish people are not bound by mazel. The Jewish people don't have mazel. No, maybe that's the kavana. When a Jew gets to the part of the Haggadah that says "Tseyu lamad," maybe that's like the kavana. You know, "Tsey," like "Tsey mitzagnina shocha." "Tseyu lamad." A Jew has to go beyond. A Jew has to believe in something beyond that. Yeah. Right. So we also have mazel on one level. Right? We operate within time. Again, we're a metzias that's a crazy metzias. We're within time. We're physical beings. We live and we die. Right? But there's also a part of us that's totally beyond. So that's why we're made up of this strange mix of things. We compare it to Mitzrayim in a certain sense. We have a better mazel. Right? But when our mazel seems to not be big enough, we have something called Ein Mazel Yisrael. Right? Ein, it's Ayin. It's attaching ourselves to the Ein Sof. I was thinking two Shabbosim ago. Maybe that's the pshat in the She'ena Yodei Alishol. Yeah? She'ena Yodei Alishol, you can read it that what? That he doesn't know how to ask. Or you could also read it, She'eno, that his ain is Yodei Alishol. Yeah? She'eno, his ain, his ayin, his place, his nekuda of ayin, is Yodei Alishol. That he knows how to ask of Hashem because he's connected to the ayin. He understands that when a Jew sees himself as nothing other than, I'm not an independent existence. I don't exist independent. from Hashem, right? I'm one with Hashem. So when I realize Ayin, Eino, his Ayin, his recognition of Ayin, his bittul to Hashem, Yodei Elisha, then he knows he can ask for anything he wants. That's the She'eino Yodei Elisha. So Avraham Avinu feels trapped. I'm never going to have a kid. I'm never going to have children. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what are you talking about? Rashi brings it on that pasuk in Chumash. Take a look. Hotziu mechalalo shal olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram beyond the halal, beyond the space of the world. V'igbiu l'malam in ha-kochavim. He went beyond the stars. Right, go beyond. U'mavur sha'af shemitzad ha-briya. Lo yachol Avram Avinu laholid. Hello, so Hashem yisbach mi al ha-briya. Even though Avram within everything, the physical world, and that means like the fullest expanse of the physical world, not just what our eyes see standing here on planet Earth. My son asked me on Shabbos, what is Earth? Because I was sitting on the couch with Meira, we were reading a kid's book, she's learning to read now, so she's reading a little book, and it says something about Earth. So Yaakov says, Daddy, what's Earth? I said, what's Earth? So luckily, I was in luck, we had a globe in the room. So I said, that's Earth. And so I got the globe, I said, the whole world, like we're on Earth. I don't know, it was like very hard to, one of these things you try to explain to a four-year-old, what is Earth? Right? So we think like this is the world. This is not the world. The world includes everything that's out there and beyond. Right? As far as anything that we could study or see. So obviously I studied the farthest reaches of the heavens, of the constellations. Hashem says there's beyond that also. Go totally beyond that. You're gonna have a child, it's gonna come from a place that's totally beyond. And it's from that place that's completely beyond. That Avram Avinu had a child, Yitzchak. Maybe that's why Avram is the Yontov of Pesach. Because again, Pesach teaches us about the impossibility of things and how impossible things become possible. I mean, it's sort of the story of Avram and the story of Yitzchak combined. Yitzchak being the first miraculous child, Avram being the first miraculous father. But I guess that is Pesach, you know, Avram and Yitzchak. Parents and children. Heishiv Levavos Albanim. We said in the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol, this impossibility of Klal Yisrael that's become a reality. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says in the Navi, Su'u merom enechem, ur'u mi bara'ela. Yeah? So the Svarim say that ur'u mi bara'ela. Right, Re'u mi bara eila. Re'u mi bara eila is Rashi Tevos Avram without a hey. Avram, his original name. Meaning when he was still Avram and he has yet to become Avraham, which again, what do you mean? You think you're bound to Avram? I could change you into a different mitzias if I want. I could turn you into Avraham. So Avram is Rashi Tevos Re'u mi bara eila. Stop living within the limitations. Look above. Su'u merom enechem. Lift your eyes above. Ure'u mi bar elan. See who created something that's beyond. You think you're Avraham? I'm going to make you into Avraham. You think Eliezer is your future? Yitzchak Avinu is your future. Umavur b'svar makadoshim. Last paragraph on the page. Hato elis van hagazu. The reason that Hashem made it this way. Shaleidus Yitzchak hayel amal min mazalos. Why is it that the first Jewish child ever born, Yitzchak, comes from a place, beyond hope? Shebezeh nikva mitzias shenishmas Yisrael einena shayeches. Legashmius ha'olam, olam hazeh mazalos, because this put into motion the story of Klal Yisrael. Just like the first Jewish child ever born was an impossibility, so too that becomes the story of all of Klal Yisrael. V'chol mitziusam hi hu lemalam me'atav kochavim, that everything about the Jewish people is making the impossible possible. One of my favorite varts from Meir Shapiro, Lublina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi. He says, what does Hashem say to Avram in this scene? Hashem says, Avram, go outside and what? And count the stars. Koya zaracha. So how do we understand, go count the stars, your children will be like the stars. So usually we understand that the Jewish people will be as numerous as the stars. Right? The problem is there are trillions of stars and there are not trillions of Jews. So that's a hard shot. So maybe it means like the Baal Shem Tov said. Go outside and look at the stars. Just like a star looks like a small little light when you're distant from it, but as you get close to a star, you see it's a massive ball of gas. So to a Jew, if you look at a Jew superficially from a distance, small little yidl, you know, pasha de yid. You get to know a Jew, more you know him, the bigger he becomes. So maybe in that way we're like a star. But Rav Meir Shapiro said a gevaldik pshat. Rav Meir Shapiro said, Hashem told Avram, go outside and count the stars. No, what do you do if you're an Avram Avinu and Hashem tells you to do something? What do? You do it. So Avram goes outside and he starts counting. 5 stars, 10 stars, 100 stars, 1,000 stars, 10,000 stars, 100,000 stars, right? 1,000,000 stars, 1,000,000,000 stars, 1,000,000,000,000 stars. Avram's getting a little tired. So he says to Hashem, I don't think I can finish. Yeah, give me an impossible task. Go count the stars. It's an endless avoda. I can't do it. So Hashem says, koya zaracha. So will be your children. What does that mean? Rav Meir Shapiro says, just like Avram was asked to do an impossible thing, and he could have said, I'm not going to try because it's impossible. He could have given up before he started. But he decided, if Hashem told me to try, I'm going to try. So Hashem says, good, koya zaracha. So too, that's going to be the story of the Jewish people. Just like you tried to do the impossible, instead of making excuses and saying it's too hard, it's impossible, it'll never work, you went out and you did what I told you to do because that was your shlichus, that was your mission. So too, that's going to be the story of the Jewish people. The Jews are not afraid to try to do the impossible. And guess what? When we try to do the impossible, we see success. It was impossible for him to have a kid also. And a moment later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just like you tried to do the impossible, you counted the stars, guess what? I'll make a different impossibility possible. Koya Zarach, you're going to have a child. That was also impossible. Okay, top of the next page. Hashem takes Avram out, and he says to him, Koya Zarach. Again, the Jewish people are going to be a world of impossibility. Okay, second paragraph on page Reish Nun Hei. Everyone see where we are? Reish Nun Hei. Second paragraph, Ukashem. Ukashem Shahaya B'tchilas Yitziras Yisraelis. So just like the beginning of the Jewish people, Shayezel Amal Mekoch, first individual Jew, Yitzchak, came from a place of impossible. Kach haya beleidas nishmas Yisrael. So too, the birth of the Jewish people come from a place that's also impossible. Namely what? Chatzois halayla. A place and a time that doesn't exist. Kach haya beleidas nishmas Yisrael b'leil ha-seder, shayezadavka b'zman chatzos, kefish nizbar hu zman shalamal me'zman. As we've explained, it's a time beyond time. It's a time beyond time. I'll just share with you outside. In footnote Aleph, he says, who else has a sheiches to Chatzos? David HaMelech used to get up to praise Hashem at Chatzos Halayim. David HaMelech had a strong connection to Chatzos. Why did David have a strong connection to Chatzos? Because David HaMelech, explains Rav Kluger, was also impossible. When David HaMelech was born, he was supposed to live for a few hours and not survive. Odom HaRishon, says Chazal in the Medrash, saw that David was supposed to live for a couple of hours and donated 70 years of life to who? 70 years of life to David HaMelech. I'm just thinking now. Maybe you could say like this. We said a remez last week that three times, right? We have three matzahs, we have four cups of wine. Right, so we have three matzahs and four cups of wine. So the gematria of four times kosi ayin. Right, kosi ayin is gematria 156. Four cups of wine, so four times kosi ayin, yeah, is gematria what? Is chayrut? Is chayrus? 624. What do we call the matzah? The matzah is called lechem oni. Yeah, lechem oni without the vav, as it's spelled in the Torah, is 208. So three times 208. Is also 624 is Matzah Cheres. So through the Achilas Matzah and through the drinking of the Kosos of Yayin, we achieve Cheres. It's not, I'm going to say it anyway. It's not so clean what I want to say. I have a question on it, but I'll say it anyways. I think it's kedai to say. Right? Lechem Oni, what's the Matzah of Lechem Oni? We said is how much? Lechem Oni, which is the name for the Matzah, is 208, is Gematria Yitzchak. Is Gematria Yitzchak. Right? Yayin is Gematria 70, is the 70 years that David HaMelech lived. So it could be that when we eat the Lechem Oni, when we drink the wine, we're thinking of who? We're thinking of Yitzchak, who's Gematria Lechem Oni. We're thinking of David HaMelech, which is connected, the 70 years of David HaMelech is connected. Right? The question on it is that we're using Yitzchak's name, we're using the years of David's life. Right? I mean, Yitzchak's name is Gematria 208, Gematria Lechemoni, and the 70 years, we're not using David, Gematria David is 14. We're using the 70 years, Gematria Yayin. But in some ways, I think, if Yitzchak, and if what Kluger's saying is correct, that Yitzchak is a miraculous existence, and David HaMelech is a miraculous existence, so it makes sense that as we sit at the Seder, right, we kind of commemorate the two of them, we think about their lives, as we long for the impossibility of Geula. Again, Yitzchak, the first Jew, is a miracle because the birth of Klal Yisrael is a miracle. Klal Yisrael being born at Chatzos HaLaila, at an impossible time, represents that the entire people is a miracle. David HaMelech, whose existence was also impossible, David HaMelech represents Mashiach. Right? So our possibility of bringing Mashiach seems impossible. Okay, so that's also possible. Right? Meaning all of these are teaching us that when it looks like something's impossible, it is possible. So that's why David HaMelech has a connection to what? To Chatzos. Because David HaMelech's existence was also rooted in a place of impossibility. Okay, something lamalam in azman. Okay, let's go back to the main text of the Sefer, the paragraph Umikan. Umikan shoresh divrei Svarim HaKadoshim. So now we understand the concept that it's talked about in the Svarim HaKadoshim, even the Rishonim bring such an idea. Shebnei Yisrael einam nechlalim bedalad hadragos shebebriya. Hadargos shebebriya. Bnei Yisrael are not part of the natural order of the Bria. Meaning everything in the world is made up of domeim, tzomeach, chai, medaber. Domeim, inanimate objects. Tzomeach, plant life. Chai, animal life. Medaber, human beings. But Klal Yisrael are a different category. Elohim darga chamishas shemi'al hakol. We're a different level. We're something beyond. We're a fifth dimension. Right? We're in a dimension beyond time. That's called Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly why, again, we always find that Klal Yisrael is being created in these impossible times. Okay? Let's go one more step. V'yesh, next paragraph. V'yesh liros havana zu shechatzos ze zman shu lamal mi'azman. Maybe we can understand better this idea of chatzos based on a Gemara in Brachos. The Pasuk says that when Moshe told Paro that Hashem is going to destroy the Egyptians at midnight, the Lashon of the Pasuk is that Moshe told Paro that you're going to be destroyed, in the left column, the third line, kachatzos halayla. At something like midnight, approximately midnight. And the Gemara explains that why did Moshe say approximately midnight? Why did Moshe say at midnight? The Gemara in Brachos says, v'kevan demoshe havayada. Since Moshe knew the concept of chatzos precisely, why did Moshe say kachatzos, like chatzos? Madua hu lo amar bachatzos. Why didn't he say at chatzos, mamish? Right? Why not say at chatzos? Why say near chatzos, close to chatzos, something similar to chatzos? So the Gemara says, because Moshe was concerned, Moshe kasavar shema yitu at segnine paro v'yomer Moshe badaihu. Maybe Paro's astrologers, their clocks would be a little bit off, their watches would be a little bit off, and they would say, huh, look, Moshe, you're a liar. God showed up at 12:01. Not exactly at chatzos. A funny Gemara. Right? As Egypt is being utterly obliterated, but you said it was going to be at exactly at Chatzos, and look, God's running a few seconds earlier, a few seconds late. So Moshe says, you know what, I don't need your cynical remarks on our way out of Mitzrayim. I'll just keep it more general. Kachatzos, general, kachatzos. So it says Rav Kluger, where it's underlined, V'pashtas hakavana, shitzagninim lo yoch letzamtzim b'diukas rega Chatzos. Moshe was worried that the astrologers wouldn't know exactly when Chatzos is. But based on what we're explaining, it's much deeper and it's much clearer what's actually being said here. Moshe Rabbeinu, representing Klal Yisrael, says, I know about Chatzos. The astrologer says, Chatzos, there's no such thing as Chatzos. Right? What do you mean? If you think about it, there's really no such thing as Chatzos. There's 6 hours prior to Chatzos, there's 6 hours after Chatzos. But what is that space that's not a space? What is that time that's not a time? It's the same way that the Gemara says in Megillah and Yoma and Bava Basra and three Masechtos that the Aron and the Kodesh Kadashim didn't take up any space. Enum and Amida. What does that mean? It doesn't take up any space. How could there be an object that exists where there is no physical space? But for Klal Yisrael, we don't struggle with that concept. Moshe says, I'm talking to astrologers. I better make sure I explain it in a way that these guys understand. So Moshe says, Kachatzos. Aval achar advarim and his chalal yesh levar both in nifla. We can explain in the wondrous way, says Rav Kluger. Shebe emes ha'itztagninim lo yecholim lamur azman zeh. The astrologers couldn't grasp a concept. They couldn't understand the time within this world that's outside of this world. That's Klal Yisrael. That's a concept that only we can fully grasp. Ki zeh nekuda zman shelamala me'azman. But the astrologers who saw a natural order, that they looked to the stars, they looked to the constellations, they couldn't grasp a time that's outside of time. But again, of course, we can, and that's why Hashem says to Avram, go beyond. And that's what the Seder night is. The Seder night is, again, an opportunity to go beyond time within time, which is why we're achieving an infinite. A Seder that's supposed to go all night, but says the halacha, make sure you finish by chatzos. How do I go all night if I'm finishing by chatzos? And how do I do both at the same time? By Klal Yisrael, it's not a kash. Okay, turn to the last page. Again, I told you, there are some tzaddikim, and there are some people who are not makpid on this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. They go beyond chatzos. They're not careful to finish afikoman by chatzos, or they're not careful to finish halal by chatzos. So what's that about? Again, it's really based on a machlokes tanayim, until when is a person eligible to eat the Karban Pesach. Okay, so there's an opinion, there's a shita of Rabbi Akiva. It's a famous vart that they say. Chavi, you know the vart. They say the vart, right? Baisa Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, I'm Sudan Bnei Brak, yeah? At the famous Sudan Bnei Brak. And they were Mustafa Mesias Mitzrayim Koloso Alayla. Until what? Until Talmidim said, it's time for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Yeah? So the machlokas about when you need to finish the Seder by, officially, is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, who were both at this Suda. Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, and they had their Seder all night. So what's the pshat? They had the Seder all night. We passing like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, they have to finish by Chatzos. They say maybe it was because they were in Bnei Brak, and Bnei Brak is Rabbi Akiva territory, so they passed like the Moir Dasa, they passed like Rabbi Akiva when they were in his, you know, they were in his jurisdiction, under his jurisdiction, so that's why they went all night. Okay, but really the halacha is you have to finish by Chatzos. Rabbi Akiva is not the normative halacha. Okay, but says Rav Kluger, let's just understand a little bit how Rabbi Akiva works. Yesh lahosif ulevaris shitas Rabbi Akiva. Let's try to understand, says Rav Kluger, just to end our piece for today. Let's try to understand the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Psachim Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, where Rabbi Akiva says, Shizman Achilas HaPesach Hu Kol HaLayla. Again, whatever we're going to do by the Seder is just mimicking what we did with regard to the Karban Pesach. Until when can you eat the Karban Pesach? Can you eat the Karban Pesach all night? Or do you need to finish the Karban Pesach by Chatzos? Okay, so Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says by Chatzos. Rabbi Akiva says you have the whole night. So let's ask a question of Rabbi Akiva. Why do we want to be locked into Chatzos? Because that's when it took place. That's when the Jews were sitting at their table eating Karban Pesach as the Egyptian firstborns were dying. Meaning historically, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's opinion seems to be more true to what the Jews experienced in Mitzrayim. Ulechor kasha. Sha'arei ha'kos ha'bechoros b'mitzrayim ha'ya b'chatzos layla. You hear? Let's ask a question, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, why shouldn't we try to lock into chatzos? That's when the firstborns and Egyptians were being killed. That's the moment of that first moment of redemption of Klal Yisrael. U'madua lafi Rabbi Akiva ain't shumal yusuf b'zmanzis. Rabbi Akiva says, eat the Karban Pesach all night. Why not? Why not lock into chatzos? It makes more sense. Especially now that we explained that Chatzos is such a Heilige Inyan, that Chatzos is the moment that Klal Yisrael is born. How do we understand everything that we've explained according to the worldview of Rabbi Akiva? It's above time, but we explained that there's an Inyan of being above time within time. Okay, so let's say. I hear. V'yesh levar oimkum shel dvar. So says Rav Kluger, okay, we got two paragraphs left. Let's finish strong. So he says, let's understand the depth of this idea. Let's understand, he says, mimashal dargas kutzel shel yud shemi'al ha'arba osios shem havaya. Okay? So I ask you, the whole world is made up of how many things?
How many categories? He'll say four.
Domim, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. So we say, no, that's for the uninitiated eye. A person who's able to see deeper knows that there's a fifth dimension called Yisrael, the Jewish people. Okay? So let's take another test. How many letters are there in Hashem's Shem HaEtzem, the Shem Havaya? How many letters are in the four-letter name of Hashem? What color is George Washington's white horse? Yeah? How many letters are there in the four-letter name of Hashem? Right? So a simple person would say, how many letters in the four-letter name of Hashem? Four. Duh. So you say, wrong. There are five. I mean, there are five. And why are you calling it a four-letter name of Hashem? So look what Rav Kluger says. He says, there's something called Kutzo Shel Yud. What is Kutzo Shel Yud? Kutzo Shel Yud means the point on top of the Yud. On top of the letter Yud is a little point. And every Yud in the Sefer Torah, there's a little point. It has to be there. Kutzo Shel Yud. The Gemara Menachos says, if you don't have Kutzo Shel Yud, you have a big problem. Your Torah could be puzzled. So Kutzo Shel Yud. So you say, well, that's part of the Yud. It's part of the Yud. No, it's not a separate letter. But in Pnimius, we view Kutzo Shel Yud as what? As a fifth dimension. As something beyond. As Shabbos HaGadol, yeah. Right? In addition to the four parshiyos, we have Shabbos HaGadol. We have a dimension that's beyond. It's something that goes beyond, right? It looks like it's attached to the Yud, and it is. In the Sefer Torah, you draw the point on top of the Yud is attached to the Yud. But it's really, Al Pi Pnimius, it's really something that's beyond. It's a fifth dimension. The same way a Jew standing next to a non-Jew on the street, they both look like human beings, but one is a different type of human being called Yisrael. It's different. It's different responsibilities. It's a different existence. Okay? So take a look. He says, Kutzo Shel Yud, which rests me'al ha'arba osios shel havaya. The point on top of the Yud is a point that's above, right? In terms of its height, it's higher than any other part of the four letters of Hashem's name. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Shebepashtus nireh shekutzo shel yud nimtza rak mi'al ha-yud, v'hu mechubar elav. The pashut pshat seems to be that the yud, the point on top of the yud, is the highest point of yud. It's not connected at all to hey and vav and hey. And more than that, it's not a separate thing from the yud, it's connected to the yud. Part of the letter of Yud. It's the same drop of ink that the Sofer uses to write the Yud that he writes. He puts that little line that extends from the Yud, the point on top of the Yud. But says Rav Kluger in the left column, Ach bepnimius muvan shekutzo shel yud meramez adargas hayichida hagavoa me'alakol. But in truth, kutzo shel yud is what? Is a different dimension. It's as different as what? V'havdil ben kodesh l'chol ben or l'choshech ben yisrael la'amim. One of the tzaddikim explained. Or and choshech, they're pretty different, no? Kodesh and chol, pretty different, no? Yisrael va'amim. Oh, and that's not so different. Yisrael va'amim, what do you mean? Night and day, they're totally different. They have nothing in common. Yisrael va'amim, we have a lot in common. Yeah? I'm a Lakers fan, my neighbor's a Lakers fan. I don't know, we have a lot in common. I've got two eyes, he's got two eyes. He drives a car, I drive a car. He puts food in his body, I put food in my body. Not so different. Okay, I look for an OU. Yeah, on my product and he doesn't. Okay. I eat kosher hamburgers and he eats non-kosher hamburgers. Okay, not so different. But I think it was Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great mashkiach from Mir, who said, the same way that Or and Choshech are totally different, Kodesh and Chol are totally different, Yisrael and Amim are totally different. A superficial glance would make it seem that they're the same. The same way it looks like the Yud and the point on top of the Yud are connected, but they're really not. The point on top of the Yud is totally beyond the Yud. And it also has Ashba on the other letters, the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. And it represents the Yechida, the deepest dimension of the soul, that fifth dimension of the soul. And even though it looks like it's connected to the Yud, it looks like it's connected, but it's actually totally beyond. How many exiles are there in Jewish history? We talk about the four exiles, right? Bavel, Madai, Yavan, Edom. Where's Mitzrayim? Where's Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is that fifth dimension. It's the root of all exiles. It's like that point on top of the Yud is the root of all existence. That's why the B'nai Yisachar says, remember the Varnani? Yeah, what does it say about Mitzrayim? What does it say the Egyptians felt towards Klal Yisrael? They're disgusted by us. How does the Torah in the beginning of Sefer Shemos describe the disgust the Egyptians had for us? It says, Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. It says the b'nei Yisrael, Vayakutsu, that's the kutz shel yud. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Mitzrayim says, we're in the fifth dimension and you're the fifth dimension. We know who you are. And we're going to try to hold you, we're going to stop you from having a hashpa. We're going to stop you from running the world. We're going to hold you captivity. Meitzar, we're going to put you in boundaries and borders. We're going to show that you don't exist above the yud, you're connected to the yud. Right? You live within Teva, you live within boundaries and borders, what Mitzrayim means. And Hashem says, no, Avram, tsei mi asagnina shalcha. Go beyond. You're not actually connected. You represent the raw material of creation, something that's, again, completely beyond. Last paragraph. So we're trying to understand Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says what? Rabbi Akiva says you can have Karm Pesach all night. But hold on a second. I thought Chatzos was a special time in history. That was the moment that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, but it's a moment that's not a moment, and it's not bound by its moment. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, I can experience Chatzos the whole night. Rabbi Akiva says, you can move Chatzos around. Rabbi Akiva says, I also hold Chatzos as a holy time. But if since it's a time that's outside of time, it can always be Chatzos. That's wild. It's a wild idea. Only Rabbi Akiva could say such a thing. On the one hand, Chatzos is what is a specific time. Right? Even if we struggle to find it, okay, but at least like we know where it is. It's right. If night is 12 hours long, and we divide it into 6 and 6, okay, so even if I don't have that exact point in between the two 6s, but okay, it has to be like around here. Powers astrologers, Kichatzos, it's somewhere around here. Rabbi Akiva says, once you realize that it's beyond, it can be anywhere. The whole light is chatzos. Aren't we lying in Manashtana when we say, Shebechol halelos anu ochlin chametu matzah halayla zeh, what? Kulo matzah. That's a lie. Isn't that a lie? Halayla zeh kulo matzah? It's not true. Halayla zeh we also have maror. Halayla zeh we also have kosos yayim. Halayla zeh we have my mother's chicken soup. So what do you mean halayla zeh kulo matzah? It's not true. Kulo matzah, the pashup shah, kulo as a parent to b'chol halelos chametz u'matzah halayla zeh kulo matzah. But let's be more literal. It's not kulo matzah. Right? So Pnimia says it is kulo matzah. Your chicken soup is also matzah. Your mar is also matzah. Your wine is also matzah. What does that mean? A person doesn't like chassidus, doesn't even says you're saying shtuyot. But a person who understands Pnimius of Torah, Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe of Rishon Bar Yochai, this is Pnimius of Torah, this is where it all comes from. Rabbi Akiva, whose very name, what's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva? What's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva. Avram Avinu says, Hashem, my body doesn't work. I'll never produce a child. Hashem says, your body doesn't work. Who cares about your body? But we're not living a body. Yeah, you sort of live in a body, but say mitzvah shalcha. You're not really bound by your body. You're not bound by time. You're not bound by physical reality. What's the gematria? Rebbe Akiva. 395 is gematria. Neshama. Yeah. Sfasemis says Hashamayim is also 395. Anyone know the name of Hashem for the month of Nisan? Every month has a different name of Hashem. All right, Yurke Vavke. It's Hashem's name in order. What pasuk is it hinted to? Yismechu Hashamayim. The Sagalat, Hashemayim is Gematria Neshama. Rabbi Akiva says, come on, if we're doing this, let's do it all the way. If you really believe in time outside of time, so put it everywhere and anywhere. Make the whole night Chatzos. Rabbi Akiva says, that moment that doesn't exist, always exists. Okay. It's being able to create an e-metzias within metzias. A time outside of time within time. Shekol anhaga b'layla zehi anhaga shalamala min azman kiviyachol kol alayla kulo hu Chatzos arichta. The whole night is one big long chatzos. One long chatzos. Okay? So what an amazing idea. Again, to understand, just a halacha. Again, halacha is halacha. Halacha is clear. Shulchan Aruch, Tafayin Zayin. Finish Tafikomen by chatzos, finish Halal by chatzos. And I can assure you that Rav Herschel Schechter is makbid to finish his Seder with Halal by chatzos. You're allowed to sit and tell the story as long as you want after that. And there are many tzaddikim also. Right? Some tzaddikim understood this idea that chatzos can be extended, and that's why they're not makpid on chatzos in a literal sense, because chatzos itself doesn't exist. Let's be honest, there's no such thing as chatzos. But again, to understand what a beautiful idea that the destruction of Mitzrayim is at chatzos, the birth of Klal Yisrael is at chatzos, because B'ni B'chor Yisrael, that's the only B'chor that Hashem allows for, because we're an expression of the Ani Rishon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to understand that this is everything that, you know, that a life of Torah is. It's being able to infuse physical reality with something which is totally beyond physical reality. Seems like a contradiction, but by a Jew it makes perfect sense. Okay? It's Kavaldik Maimer. Shvach.